can see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watch Before Jesus Bible study this afternoon. My name is Thomas Campbell. I'm the host coming at you this afternoon, this evening. And today, this week has been a little dramatic, I guess. Some serious issues we've talked about, the serious accusations toward high-level government and other military commanders and what have you about their ill-conceived plans that goes back, gosh, generations. When you know the truth, you wonder why they can't figure it out, too, at the highest level. They just keeps on going, targeting our veterans, targeting the American public. It all has to do with the supernatural beings that's out there, and that's what's really going on. That's the big picture. Each generation is like this musical chair. You understand? What generation is it going to be that will actually be the one to go through the tribulation? Which one? Each generation is named, actually, the quiet generation, the baby boomers, the X, Y, Z, millennial, they got them named. Which generation is it going to be? Which combination of generations? Live your life. Nobody knows when. Only God knows. It is coming. That's not going to be in my time. That's how they placate themselves. Because you see, I haven't met anybody yet that's living forever. Some people unfortunately die what we call ahead of time. Is it really? But when God calls you, when it's time to go, it goes. That time, that eternity began for that person. Or whether it's a baby, or whether it's an adult that's in his 90s, or what we call early in their 20s or 30s. A model recently, 23 years old, actually an athlete in Russia, I believe it was, 23 died. How does this happen? You wonder sometimes. Especially an athlete. Well, they didn't know their time was coming, but their time has started. Jesus isn't here yet, but their time has begun. Whatever happened, whatever they did in their past, well, they've cashed in. Not to be light of it, but it's begun for them. It's not going to be changed. So you don't, you know, it's people waiting, well, I'll last even the clouds, I'll do it. No, no. What if you go ahead of time, so to speak, or to your old age? Your generation was not the one, but still, you're going to die. But you never die. You go to hell or you go to heaven. You don't hang around for 3-4 days at Starbucks and the Lord decides where he's going to send you. It don't work that way. Satan's not in hell. Hell was created Satan to go there, to be put there. So Satan's not in hell like some of the churches make us believe that Satan's down there managing hell. Well, let's see. I remember you. Ha-ha, I've been waiting for you. You're going over here. No, you. Oh, you're going over there. No. No. Hell's its own management. Holy Spirit is everywhere. Hell's for those who turn away from Jesus because they choose to. Chose to. Past tense. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. I think I'll do a Bible study on that. Will Satan ever be forgiven? Of course, we know the answer to that. You say, well, of course not. Yeah, well, I just had a long-term discussion a couple nights ago with three-way conversation that said, well, God could forgive him if he wanted to, and Satan would repent, God would forgive him. We went around and around for almost half an hour about that issue. I'm like, well, come on, man. You know better than that. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to get into it tonight. Tonight was what I've been waiting to do. Well, that would be the reason, wouldn't it? Is it right to judge or expose Aaron to call names? Oh, boy. That's a hot one, man. A hot potato. Man, I can see my computer already smoldering here. Causing division. You know who's going to cause division? Jesus is. You shouldn't cause division in the house of God. Say what? Well, you better tell that to Jesus because he's going to do it. In every church, there's going to be division. In his church, there's going to be major divisions. In families, there's going to be division, I'm afraid. Those who accept Jesus and those who just call themselves Christian or follow Christianity. It's not the same thing. It's different. I can be a goose and call myself a duck and don't mean I'm a duck or a goose. I was really eagle looking for food. I mean, you know, it's, you know, you can call yourself what you want, but God looks for the heart. He looks that you've accepted your son Jesus. That's what he looks for. You can call yourself anything you want to call yourself. But it's God, the judge, that you need to make sure he knows. It's what counts. And just living a good life, man, don't get it. We acknowledge the sin. Just getting by. Don't get it with God. Dedicate the broadcast. And I was struggling with what I want to really. I know I want to do something tonight that I figured would do some good. That would be the purpose of Bible study in the first place. But I'm stating the obvious tonight, I think, too much. But I want to make an impact on somebody, and then for me to learn. You thought I'm just teaching, didn't you? No. For those just joining me? No. This is my Bible study. I just invited people to attend it. It's kind of what it boils down to. I'm learning too. But I share in my learning, and then you go back and do your own. You say, well, Tom, I disagree with you. And I say, okay, why? You'll tell me. I said, oh, good point. I'll come back the next day. Guess what? I don't have a problem with that. I don't know it all. I'm not a theologian. Matter of fact, we'll talk about that tonight, about who to expose errors. And a lot of them are theologians. Let's dedicate the broadcast. Lord, thank you tonight that we come together in this Bible study. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity you give us through your Lord Jesus Christ, your Son Jesus Christ. And Father, you give us opportunity to live with you forever through your Son Jesus. We thank you, Father, for our opportunities we have for Bible studies. We thank you, Lord, for the King James Bible. But we pray tonight. We pray that you'll bring wisdom to sermon our way. And Lord, that you'll spread that Holy Spirit out. I know in your time that the hearts will be accepting it. Father, the watchman will come out. The pulpits will be full of those that's going to preach the truth. And the Father, that the parishioners, that they will start to speak out against false teaching, will demand that the true Bibles be bought and used. Because, Father, there's too much quietness in the churches today. People just sit. Father, we need active participation. Father, I guess the only way is to shake them up, Lord, that somehow people will awaken to the truth and spread the gospel. And, Father, we call upon you to wake up these churches before that time begins. We pray for our families and our friends and our ones we come in contact with, that, Lord, will spread the gospel. They will have the courage, strength, and wisdom, discernment to get through the test that you put out there. Father, you convict us when we fall away or have thoughts that's not pleasing to you. For thy will be done, not our own. Lead us tonight, Father, in this study. And we pray, Lord, you lead us with wisdom and discernment to see through the end times deception that's coming up today's, and be able to have the courage and opportunity to expose the false teachings. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I ran across somebody the other night. There's a homeless guy, and anyway, we had an exchange or so. I told him, I said, you know, you got a head start on a whole lot of people. Because a lot of people don't realize that America is going to get shaken, and shaken bad. The time's coming. Christmas is one of the false seasons because there's no Santa Claus. There isn't one. Dad and Mom, is there a Santa Claus? Sure they are. You slide to them because there's not. So there's a lie because it's for the greater good to make him happy for the excitement, but you lied. You lied. There's no Santa Claus. It doesn't exist. NASA traces him, tracks him. Tracks what? On TV. Tracks a phantom. It's not real. Marines don't guard the streets of heaven. Don't need to. There's no Marines guarding the streets of heaven. We used to tell Marines that. Well, it's not true. At what point do you tell your son, daughter, that there's really no Santa Claus? So then you find that, then he finds out that it's okay to lie for your own good. So what? You know, that's what it boils down to being. You know. Am I being too harsh? You know, I mean, we're just taught to the ends justify the means, even on a simple basis. It's okay to lie. Where that well, that was 1950s, a dime, 60s, a dime, when you lost a tooth. Well, that's about $5, I guess. Where'd it come from? Tooth fairy. Oh, okay. So that means that the supernatural is like the tooth fairy and Santa Claus. You see what they've done? Uh-huh. Makes lying easier, and then it makes it easier to say that this thing about God and angels is the same thing as Santa and Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy. Oh, yeah. You see how it's clever, isn't it? How they've done that. That is so clever. How they placed that in our minds. That if Tooth Fairy is false and Santa Claus is false, well, this thing about God, I ain't seen him, he's false too. And we've been hooked line and sinker, man. How they do that. But you know, if I live just a good life, it's okay. He'll understand. God and I have this understanding. Really? Says who? Not what the Bible says. It's more than just living a good life. That comes after you've become born again. That's the fruit of the Spirit, living the good life. Jesus sets us free. You know, no one since the Apostle Paul had written more graphically about the experience of spiritual bondage than a theologian named Augustine. Augustine, of course, was mixed in with the Roman Catholic Church around the 3rd and 4th century. The 4th and 5th century. He had extraordinary intelligence. His younger years, he had wallowed in deep depravity. And looking back, Augustine gave an account of his struggle we'll use tonight. I was bound by the iron chain of my own will. I was rather an unwilling sufferer, someone who suffers, than a willing actor. And yet it was through me that habit had become an armed enemy against me. Me against myself. Why? Because he had willingly come back to be what he unwillingly found himself to be. Looking in the mirror. You know, many of us have gone through a similar struggle. We want deliverance from sin, yet find ourselves unable to shake off the chains of habit. So habit, yes, Virginia, there's a Santa Claus. So habit. Then as we kind of turn back a faith to Jesus Christ, we're liberated. The truth will liberate you and free you. I know for a fact about this. Man, I can tell you, what it says, I can tell you when the truth will set you free. Man, that's an understatement. When you tell the truth, you're liberated, man. It's like a breath of fresh air. You can repeat the words of Charles Wesley. Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused the quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. I'm not a poet. But you know, Jesus by himself, Jesus alone can break the shackles of sin in your life. When you become born again, something leaves. Some things will stay. You're not all of a sudden sinless. No, it doesn't work that way. But he lets you know he's there. Something leaves that you used to do. You don't do something you used to do. He'll take something away, which is a good thing. Jesus alone can break the shackles of sin in your life. So when you receive him as your Savior, not just leading a good life, but you receive him as your Savior, the truth will make you free. John 8:32. Sleeper says, out of the bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Into the freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to thee. You see, the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, you've heard this before in my broadcast about every day, just about. They believe themselves free because they have rewards. Well, they don't, they're lied. It's like, is there a Santa Claus? They're deceived. It's false. They have the rewards, they attribute that to being free. But in reality, they're not free. They're under bondage, man, over the edge, because they can't do the right thing. So God convicts them supernaturally of telling a lie, giving somebody a contract they shouldn't, setting someone up that they shouldn't, these kind of things, because they've taken a blood oath to help the brotherhood. They're convicted, yet they've taken an oath to God to do what the brotherhood says. So you're conflicted. So you got to justify it. They're in bondage, and they don't realize it because they're placated with rewards. They don't realize it. Destroying their family because immediately, what'd you do today, honey? Well, I went to the lodge. What'd y'all do there? I can't tell you. Oh, they have already driven a wedge in that family, and they don't, doggone it, realize it. The minute you tell your wife, well, I can't tell you, you've done it. That's bingo right there, that second. She'll ignore it a little bit, but it's stuck there like a craw in the chest. It's like, can't tell me. We're going for the weekend at the lodge. We're going to, what are y'all going to do? I can't tell you. The Masons are tricky, man. They trick the first 3 degrees up to Master Mason. They're still lied to by their own people. Might as well say there's a Santa Claus. And when you leave it, it's better to never belong to it in the first place, because they'll blackball you so fast, like an 8-ball on a pool table. It's worse for you than you ever joined, that you never had joined. I never have been one, and I wouldn't be, and I lost 2 jobs because I refused to. I mean, out and out. Guards Mark was one, and he was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. I didn't know that. The owner was. Wow. Worked for BP. I was a security manager for a subcontractor on BP oil refinery. I had a security guard force I was in charge of. They wanted me to be a Mason. Asked me 3-4 times. I said, no, no, and no, and no. And they said, well, that's it. He's got to go. So for 2 months, they tried. I was stubborn for 2 months. I said, man, you can have it. You want that bad, you can stick it up your yazoo. I quit. I lasted out 2 months of their harassment. They play you. Good guy, bad guy. Good cop, bad cop. Someone always gets on your side, but I can't help you, but tell me about it. That's how they do it. But they teach you, and that's why I'm bringing it up, that doing good deeds is a sign of righteousness. Money is a sign of power. In the early 60s, there's a song came out by J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers. It said, The Last Kiss. And that song's about a couple on a date, and they get into a car accident, and the girl dies in the boyfriend's arms, and he mourns for her death, singing, oh, where can my baby be? Y'all remember that one? Some of you are probably saying, say what? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good so I can see my baby when I leave this world. No, I'm not going on America's Got Talent because I don't have any. The song sums up the attitude of a lot of people. They think if they live a good life, it's if the good works they do outweigh the bad, then they'll have earned their way to heaven. Well, unfortunately, the Bible doesn't allow anybody to earn their way to heaven. Because the scriptures teach that good works have nothing to do with one to enter into right relationship with God. Relationship is nothing you can earn. Because God has done everything for us. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Titus 3 verse 5, King James Bible. Oprah talks about this on one of her shows. I think you've heard this, heard on the show before, where she says, well, does God want you to know His same name Jesus, or call His son Jesus, or live a good life and do good deeds? She gives it one or the other. For by grace you're saved through faith and not by yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. How much plainer can you get? Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. This is why people, they're creating their own Bibles. Ha! Y'all notice that? You know that Rollins girl, that woman that did Harry Potter? For a while, the Bible school, some churches were using the Harry Potter book of Bible studies. How, you know, kids getting along and all that. Yeah. And she is actually an ordained witch. That, I'm not being facetious or derogatory. I mean, she's an actual ordained witch, okay? That's not good. Well, now that she's been told to write a Bible. And Doug Dynasty, man, they're not Christian. No way, no how. They've done their own Bible. It's based on the New King James Bible. Mormons got their Bible. Jehovah's Witness got their Bible. Seventh-day Adventists, you have Ellen G. White, that got a Bible. Everybody's got their own Bible. The Vatican corrupted the true Word of God. The Vaticanus, Americanus, I don't know, whatever, got like three of them. Man, they got the Apocrypha, and they got all this stuff, the Septuagint, and blah, blah, blah. Then the Gnostics. Because they don't, that Bible's so powerful, man, it convicts. When you touch it, you read it, it convicts your soul. It's hot, man. It's hot. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. King James Bible. For by grace we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many times the Freemasons and Shriners, and they have pictures, look what we do for the hospitals. Don't y'all take a blood oath? Yeah. Well, look what we do for hospitals, though. Forget the blood oath thing. What about hospitals we do? Look at the good job we do. Well, they don't tell you that they renounce Jesus Christ now, do they? But they do. They don't tell you about that royal secret, neither. Oh, that one gets some of them killed. The royal secret is so blasphemous. I'm going to talk about it tonight. This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. John 6, verse 29. If our eternal salvation was on the basis of works and we could earn it, well, successfully, then God would be our debtor. He would owe us something. That's not the way it is. We're bought with a price. Actually, you're on a secular level, you're traded on the stock market. Did y'all know that? A lot of Americans don't know that. Your birth certificate is helped by the IMF, and you're traded individually and in blocks on the stock market. Your name is traded on the stock market. A lot of Americans don't know that. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works is a reward, but reckoned not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Oh. See, the Bible teaches that God owes no man anything. He said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's clear. Isaiah 64, verse 6. So the simple reason is that God has a perfect standard. He said, he hates sin, not the sinner. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. And so we like to compare ourselves to others. Thus we feel that we're not so bad after all. But see, God compares us not to others, but he compares us to who? To Jesus Christ. That's what I came down here for, set the example. And next to him, we cannot help but fall far short. All of us, without exception. You know, out in Southern California, at some time, there's an island off the coast called Catalina. 26 miles from the pier of Newport Beach. So, suppose that one day, three men were standing in the end of the pier, and one's an alcoholic and grubby, sick, and living in the streets. Second's an average American, and the third's a fine, upstanding pillar of the community person. Y'all. And then all of a sudden, the alcoholic leaps off the edge of the pier, 5 feet into the water. The other two yell, what are you trying to do? The man in the water says back, I'm jumping to Catalina. Well, the second man, the average man on the street, says, watch me. You know, I could do better than that. And when he does, he proceeds to jump, landing 10 feet out, twice as far as the alcoholic. The third man, very moral, upright, outstanding person that he is, laughs at the two of them, disdainfully, actually. He moves back about 50 yards and takes a running leap and lands 20 feet out, twice as far as Mr. Average and four times as far as Mr. Alcoholic. Well, along comes the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard fishes them out of the water and asks them what they're doing. And they all reply, we're jumping to Catalina in unison. Mr. Average boasts of beating Mr. Alcoholic, and Mr. Great boasts of accomplishment and beating the both of them. Well, the Coast Guard officer could only shake his head and exclaim, you fools, you're all still 26 miles short of your mark. You see, modern man considers himself better than, or at least as good as the others. He's still as far from the target of God has set for us. It's impossible for anyone to jump from the pier to Catalina. It's impossible for anyone to reach heaven by his own deeds and apart from Jesus Christ. As Jesus himself puts it, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. Is it right to judge or expose Aaron, call names out? know, people tell you you shouldn't judge when you start telling people, well, that's not right what you're saying, and that's not in the Bible. You shouldn't judge. They'll cite scripture to you and so forth, but you're not. Oh, it brings to mind scripture that came to my mind today. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. That pops in my head right now. I had it set up here a little while ago.